First off, I'd like to obviously thank Reverend Dean Mercado for allowing me the privilege to share God's word. Albert talked about that a little last night, but it really is a privilege every time you get to share God's word. It's an opportunity for you to give, and it's an opportunity for God to work in you. So, first, we're going to start it off in the theme verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So, Dean actually shared the definition of ambassador, the first teaching, and I have the same definition, but I'm going to say it again. The definition is an authorized representative with a message, and we're of the highest rank. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're authorized and capable. And we take place for the absent Christ on this earth. It's Christ in each and every single one of you when you're born again. And to rise up and do that and be ambassadors is one very important thing we have to do. And that's standing on God's word no matter what. So you can title that if you like titling your teachings. And that's what I'll be sharing on. So what does standing on God's word really mean? What does it involve? Great question, Caleb. Lucky for you, we have a God that actually tells us how to do it, you know? It's not like one of those teachers you have. Not all teachers are bad, Jesse, you're awesome. You know, it's not like one of those teachers you have that just tells you to figure it out. You know, God tells us how to do something and what it is. He explains everything. So we can go ahead and start in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Right there, that word traditions means the word of God. So if we reread it with that in mind, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the word of God, which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You know, stand fast means to be immovable. It means to be firm and not to waver. We let nothing at all budge us from the word. So to do that, we have to hold the word in our hearts, you know. And when I mean your hearts, I'm not talking about your actual heart. I mean the innermost part of your mind. That's your heart. This guy is a little deceitful, so don't trust him. But yeah, I mean the innermost part of your mind. That's your heart. And we need to hold God's word because there's a piece of crap. If I could cuss, I would, but I'm not. There's a piece of crap out there who's called a thief. And, you know, he's here to do one thing only, and that's steal, kill, and destroy, right? Jesus Christ came that we have, might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He's the opposite. So to stand fast, you have to hold fast. Remember that. You know, we're representing Christ himself. We have that privilege. We need to make an individual commitment to stand and hold on to God's word. You got to anchor yourself to that word. Because, like, even Albert shared on it yesterday, when a ship, you know, the anchor isn't just for show. It's there for an actual purpose. If a ship went to a dock, didn't anchor itself or tie itself up, you come back the next day, the ship's not going to be there. Surprise. You know, the anchor actually has a purpose. It's so the ship doesn't drift, and the word is our anchor. That's what we need to anchor ourselves in our lives. And drifting's very easy. The current of the world, believe it or not, it's never going to take you to God's word. It's always going to be the opposite. So it means it takes an actual effort from each and every one of us to stand and hold on to God's word day by day. It's not a whenever you feel like it. It's not a week by week, month by month, year by year. It's a day by day commitment. You wake up and say, I'm going to stand for God today. But the drifting, it's a trick from the adversary. It's as subtle as something happening in your life, something that could distract you, and boom, you let go of God's word. It's not your priority anymore, and you're doing something else. Let's get some volunteers. I need two people. I want Hannah, Meme. You guys can come up here real quick. You can hold my Bible, hold it strong. May try to take the Bible. It's not going to happen. You know, you hold on to God's word and you hold it strong and nothing's going to happen. Now, put down the Bible and go give a high five to your good friend Joshua. The word's gone. Thank you, guys. You know, Thanks. You know, that was a silly example, but what I'm trying to say is you have to hold the word in your hearts. You have to have it at the forefront of your mind. Obviously, we won't be able to read the word and have it in front of us 24/7, but God's with us 24/7. He's someone that's always with us no matter where we go, so don't put him in a box. You know, whether you go to school or you go to work, doesn't matter. Don't put God in a box. Involve him in your day-to-day life. Involve him in your walk, and he'll take care of you. You hide that word in your heart, and God will take care of you. Because, you know, like we saw, you leave the word to go do something else for a second. Next thing you know, you're in Guam. I don't even know where Guam is, really. You know, obviously, that's a joke. You probably won't actually end up in Guam. But what I'm trying to say is we anchor ourselves to God's word. That's our standard, you know. In your heart, you might be telling yourself, oh, I still love God. It's all right. I haven't done X, Y, and Z, et cetera. Right when you say that, right when you stop doing, you're drifting. When you stop doing, you're drifting. Whether that's, whatever that means in your life, you know, that's, drifting is as subtle as that. And we're no good as drifting as ambassadors. We'd be like little floaties. We're representatives of the highest rank. You know, we have the same God Christ had when he was here. So who gives a crap about what others think? Concern yourself about what God thinks, right? So next we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Here's another verse of God reminding us that we need to hold and stand on God's word. You know, it's the most valuable thing you have, so why wouldn't you? Make the word your own. Study it. If you're going to be a good ambassador, how are you going to represent something you don't know? You know? On that subject, go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Number two, if you were in fellow labors 2 years ago, or last year. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is a great retemerary. By that I mean it's a great verse to memorize and have in your little arsenal of verses. It's a really good one. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Guys, it says study. I don't like studying, but you got to get over yourself. This is God we're talking about. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We study to read about the promises, to read about everything God has for us. You know, we want to represent something. Learn what you're representing. It's the most valuable thing you have, and I'm going to keep saying that over and over. And personally, I've made that commitment to stand for God, to represent the missing Christ and make God and his word my own. You know, just like David says in Psalms, my God, that's how I want to be. I want God to be my God, my personal God. So, you know, I won't give any of it up. When, little story time, when, before I actually moved to New Jersey, I had a couple people, Dean, Tim, a few other people, come and visit me when I lived in Maryland, right? So at this point, I've been to a couple fellowships, stuff like that, but I wasn't really into it. And when they came, it was something different, man. It was, that's the love of God. You know, Tim taught on that last night. That's the love of God, what they did. They had no hidden agenda. They had nothing except but to come and love me up, love my family up. You know, that's what we're here for. So fast forward a bit. Thank you guys for that, by the way. That's why I'm here. Fast forward a bit, when I moved to New Jersey, I still didn't make the word my own. You know, I had best friends, I had people I was really close to. They'd go to fellowship, I'd go to fellowship. They wouldn't go to fellowship, I'd be like, nah, I don't gotta go. you know, stuff like that. I would be relying on other people. The word wasn't my own. A lot of those people have walked out of my life, but I do not care. This is my word. This is my God, and I will stand for God. Sorry. You know, I have the privilege to represent Christ wherever I go. And that's a privilege we all have. So, you know, don't come here for any other person or any other reason. We're here for God and to represent the missing Christ. So don't take a nap spiritually. Hold fast the word and stand as an ambassador for God. So you can go to Galatians 5. Is it dusty in here?
Yes.
Thank you, Albert. Yeah, I thought so. Who wants to read Galatians 5:1?
Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Thanks, Josh. Yoke of bondage means slavery, you know? Things other than God's grace in our lives. God made us free. Before Christ, we were prisoners, guilty of sin with that old man nature, but someone stepped in for us and paid the full price, and that was Christ. An example, mind picture I'm going to give you guys. Imagine Jomar did something crazy. He went to jail, and he's on death row, right? Jomar, sorry, dude. And then someone walks in right when it's about to happen and says, take me instead. That person had nothing to do with what we did. He did nothing wrong. That's our big brother, Jesus Christ. He stepped in for each and every one of you and opened that jail cell and let you guys go. We're free. You know, he stepped in. He paid the full price, the full payment. We were slaves before. We were slaves to this world. And Jesus Christ was it, man. When you believed Romans 10:9, you cashed in your check. It's more than $1 million check. I don't care how much money you want. It's more than that. Romans 10:9 is the biggest check you're going to get in your life. And you cashed it in. You know, we're authorized believers of the highest rank with all power and God backing you up. God urges you to stand in that liberty. God urges you to stand in liberty so we don't go back to that jail. You know, the door's already open, man. Why are you going to go back when the door is open? Next, we can go to Philippians 1:27. Martin, you want to read this one? Philippians 1:27.
Only let this conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Thank you. Conversation here means lifestyle. So only let your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that ye stand fast, stand fast. You're going to keep hearing that. In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're citizens of heaven, man. Act like it. God wants us to stand right next to each other in this life, like the family we are. And for that to happen, we got to be like-minded. We got to stand and hold on the same thing, and that's the word, right? I'll give you a little example. Who here likes animals? Wow, we got some animal lovers. I probably am not going to pick your favorite animal, but a great example of standing together is buffaloes. So, does anyone know what a buffalo looks like? Yeah. So think of a dog, think 10 times bigger, with horns and like way hairier. That's a buffalo. So a really cool thing about them is when they feel threatened, they have this defense mechanism where they form a circle around each other, shoulder to shoulder, and they keep the weakest buffaloes right in the middle. That's how we need to be. Obviously, we're not buffaloes. We're better off than buffaloes. We got God Almighty on our side. But that's a great mind picture, man. Shoulder to shoulder, standing next to each other. You know, it's not only standing on God's word, it's standing together on God's word. And that's something very important because the people around you love you. Tim's teaching, that almost made me cry. I didn't cry just then. There's dust in the room. But Tim's teaching almost made me cry. That's all it is, man. You know, we love each other. Christ is our best example of that. That's what we're here for. So next, you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "For now we here means leaders, so like Paul, Timothy, those guys. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." So, you know, all those leaders seeing believers stand, you know, that's their pay, man. And that's what it's all about. You know, obviously it blessed God and it blesses God when we stand now. But something that stuck out to me was, it's the same thing, Jerry has mentioned it before, you know. He probably goes through the most stuff out of everyone. And his pay, the whole reason he does it is obviously for God, but he loves seeing people grow. That's what it's all about. It's all about seeing each other grow and stand on God's word, right? We're here together. It doesn't say stand fast at the end of verse 8. In our intelligence, it doesn't say stand fast in your strength, right? It doesn't matter how strong, how tall, or how smart you are. It's standing on the Lord, right? The one who did it all. It's he who paid the price, who won the victory for us. It's in him that we have what we have. So it's more than a privilege that we get to be called ambassadors for Christ, you know. Think about who you're representing. Think about what he's done and what he's been through just for you to be here where you are now and where you're going to be in 5 years. It's crazy to think about when you actually think about it. And, you know, it's God and Christ in each and every single one of you, and that's what enables you. You know, we walk out there, we stand on God's word, and you better know what type of power you got inside, man. And you got God behind you. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a man who stood. He was the OG. In my little fellowship, I told people, he's him. He's literally him. He stood on business. You know, he staked his very life on the word, man. He put it all on the line. He believed God would raise him up from the dead and redeem us. That's crazy. What if God didn't? Then he didn't live for anything. You know, he staked his whole life on it. Why? Because he knew the word was true. He lived it. And we know that as well. So why wouldn't we do the same? Obviously, like Caleb said last morning, we don't have to be dead sacrifices. That's not where we are. We're living sacrifices. We serve. We hold God's word in our heart and we stand on it. So, next, you can go to Acts 3, verses 1 through 6. That's where we can start. Now we're going to look at some examples of people standing. Acts 3, verses 1 through 6, we'll start there. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" And obviously, he rose up and walked, baby. But a good little side note to know, Tim mentioned it last night. It's really good to put yourself in these people's shoes. You know, this could be you. Why not? Same God. Could be you. So when you read these verses, put yourself in those shoes. What would you do, etc.? This could be you as well. So next we can pick it up in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. So, fast forwarding a bit, They did a miracle. Some people did not like that. So chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." They don't mean they just like touched them. You know, they beat them up and threw them in jail. Pretty crazy, you know. Imagine you did a miracle and then you got beaten up for it. What the hell? We can continue reading in verse 16 through 20. So it says, "Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Yeah, it makes sense, right? You know, they're agreeing that they did a miracle, but it's like, yeah, let's threaten them to not do it again. Yeah, that makes sense, right? It doesn't. Next, verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That's what standing looks like. That's no matter the circumstances, no matter what was going on, they knew they had a constant in their life, right? They knew God was on their side, so they did not care what other people thought. They cared about what God thought. And it's awesome, man. They knew who they represented. They knew who backed them up. And remember, in the definition of ambassador, it says authorized representatives. We're authorized representatives, each and every single one of you. Even if you think you're not, you are. You represent Christ, man. We have the same power that they had back then. We have the same God, same everything. If you stand on God's word and rightly divide it, you can do what we just read and so much more. Try it out. You know, have that believing. Know who you are. Know who you stand for. Know who backs you up. So next, you can go to Ephesians 6. Making sense so far, kind of. Hopefully. I did my best. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." There's a whole lot of standing going on in these three verses, man. You know, God wants us to be immovable. He wants us to be established, rooted on his word, because all the power of God and everything he accomplished in Christ is in you when you don't waver. It's in action, you know? God gave us armor spiritually because we need it. We need it in this life. There's an adversary of this world, stinky poopoo head, whatever you want to call him, etc. He gave us the 9 manifestations. That's your armor, man. God backs up each and every one of you. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, he's right there. We just got to stand. But why do we need the armor, you know? Let's go to a cool verse. James 4, 7. So we're going to read James chapter 4, verse 7. A little preface. Here the word resist means stand against, right? It's that same word we just read. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil," right? So stand against the devil, "and he will flee from you." Think about Jesus Christ. What happened when the devil pulled up to him? Smacked him down with the word. He ran away like a little scaredy cat. He's a sore loser. He's already lost. He just wants to try to take people down with him and try to hide the word. We have the victory, man. Jesus Christ is our best example. He showed us how it's done. He gave him a little smack and two with the word, and he was out. It was awesome. And Albert actually taught a little bit on the hope last night, and it's really cool. Something else that we have with the hope is that we're going to crush the adversary when Jesus Christ comes back. So to read about that, we can go to Romans 16:20. He's like that one guy that hates losing a lot. That's him. Except he really hates losing. Too bad for him. Wah, wah. Womp, womp. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, that's part of our hope as well. We're going to get to stomp on that guy's head. You know, he's lost. We won. We have everything we need, man. We're authorized representatives. You stand on God's word no matter what. You stand on God's word no matter who comes to fellowship, no matter who doesn't come to fellowship. You know, it's your God. It's the word for you. You stand because you want to. You don't stand because of circumstances, right? You stand because God is a constant. He is the only constant in your life. So, yeah, we're not here for relationships, stuff like that. Like, relationships are awesome, etc. But that's not what we're here for, right? We're here to stand. We're here for God. He's a constant. People are going to let you down. God will never let you down. And put him to the test. Try him out. He's not going to let you down. Spoiler alert. You know, we're authorized representatives, highest rank. We have a message to tell people. And we're citizens of heaven. We got to be immovable no matter the circumstances and anchor yourself on that word. And God will take care of you for the rest of your life. So we can go ahead and close in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Second Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So stand, do your best, anchor yourself on God's word, and let's all be ambassadors for God. That's what I wanted to share.